that. Praise God. This is Sunday morning, the last day of June 2019. That word that right prior to this we had, the Lord has always been the one to do miracles, but there's, you know, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And then as he did, you know, they, you know, miracles showed up as he went about doing good. As we go about doing good, God's going to show up on our behalf, because it's not us doing the works, it's him doing the works. In church, so much of the time, it's just repeat and repeat. If you know what I'm saying, it's the same people every Sunday. Every once in a while, there might be somebody come, a visitor, and they might get born again. But the thing that's, like the Lord's told us weeks ago, we're coming out of the church age. We're fixing to step into, or we are stepping into, the kingdom age of how Jesus operated. And that's where the power shows up. We're no longer a bless me club. You understand what I'm saying? The church has become nothing but a bless me club. Bless us for no more. I can remember it being in a church and thinking, I don't want it to grow. I like it to stay just like it is. Well, that was my ignorance and my youth, not knowing anything about God and the ways of God. That's not the way God thinks. He puts it in you, and when that does not, when you don't use it, it just becomes stagnant. It's like you're all plugged up inside, taking it out, stretching you, getting you. I don't know how to describe it. It's like it, like fanning the flame. It's like when we obey God, He shows up. Okay. All right. I'm going to talk this morning about meditating, entering the rest of God. Meditating. And by the way, I had this before you talked to me about what the Lord showed you, just for the record. Meditation is a vacation for the soul. You know, I've heard people say, yeah, I went on vacation, I've got to come home and rest up for my vacation so I can go to work. A lot of people go on vacation, but they never go on vacation. They never vacate. They don't rest. How does Satan actually kill people today? Well, it's what they meditate on. I said here, awareness. Awareness. Satan kills people by awareness. Awareness of what? How does God heal people today? How does God heal people today? Well, Jesus did it at Calvary. It's already a done deal. But how do people receive healing today? Awareness. Awareness is knowledge of perception of a situation or a fact. Now you can understand the onslaught of Satan and his propaganda machine known as awareness campaigns. Well, aren't you aware? At 40, the eyes go. Think about it. Just think about, I told you, I usually try to watch a little bit on Sunday afternoon. And even on Up Channel, Hallmark Channel, it's just nonstop vomit of geriatrics, people, old people, and diseases, and medicines. And see, this is how he makes you aware of things. Oh my God, I wouldn't even have thought of that if I hadn't have watched that or hadn't have seen that. Okay, now you can, okay, Genesis 1, God made a perfect world. This is Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, Let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all the earth and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image and likeness of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is in the face of all the land, and every tree with seed in its fruits. You shall have them for food, and to all the animals on the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the ground, to everything in which there is the breath of life. I have given you every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good, suitable, pleasant. And he approved it completely. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So what God made was good, and he said it was very good, and he approved it. All right, then what happened? Genesis chapter 3, Satan's first propaganda scam. 3:1. Now did Eve, was she aware of God's word? Was she aware of what God had said? Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, you may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God. She didn't know she already was, knowing the difference between good and evil and blessing and calamity. And the woman saw the tree was good, suitable, pleasant for food, and that it was delightful to look at, and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise. She took it of its fruit and ate, and she gave some also to her husband, and he ate. When man became a wise guy is when he got into trouble. Then the eyes of them both were opened. They knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron-like girdles. So they hid from God. So Satan's first propaganda scam. Oh, they were already like God. But he convinced her that, no, God's withheld from you. He has hidden the truth from you if you really want to know what the real truth is. See, today when we sit and we see those commercials and stuff and they say all these derogatory things, what is that saying? It's saying, hath God said? God says, he will renew my youth as the eagles. With long life will I satisfy you. Oh, no, but you better get this walk-in bathtub, you know, or you better get your call button. I'm falling, I can't get up. You know what I'm saying? Well, what's going on here. As funny as it may seem, or as out there as that may seem, but that's Satan's propaganda. We grew up on jingles, you know. All right, his words, hath God said? In other words, are you aware? God just didn't tell you everything. I got inside information. If it's outside of God's word, you best leave that inside information outside. This is how belief systems are started. They develop strongholds. Okay, God's word says in 1 Peter 2:24, and by his stripes ye were healed. Far as he's concerned, it was a finished work. Jesus did it. Father, he made everything, he sat down, and he rested. Then Jesus came, did what Adam screwed up and fixed it up, and then he sat down with the Father also. He's also at rest because it's finished, he said. It's finished, it's over. As far as he's concerned today, you're well. Whatever propaganda you choose to believe is your business. All right, the God of this world sees it differently. God sees us well. He sees it differently and sows seed of doubt through awareness campaigns. The red ribbon for heart, pink for breast cancer, those are the two most common, but there's all kinds of ribbons for all kinds of things. The most common and only a few among many propaganda campaigns today. To heed these campaigns will lead to kill. steal, and destroy. That's their aim and purpose. Steal from you, go buy their stupid drugs. It's probably a sugar pill, costs them a penny to make and charges you $100 a dose. You know, we take the words, we take the doctor's word, which I'm not blaming doctors because I think they're just as blinded as anybody else. They've been sold a bill of goods just like everybody else. But how do we really know? What is it? How would we know? How would you know whether that pill is a sugar pill or if it's got some toxic something in it? How would you know? Unless you're a chemist, I guess, and you've got a way to test things and find out. Most people just take it and they never give it a thought, trust the doctor, but they can't trust God. Okay. Nothing new under the sun. Same old, same old, same old tactic. Why should he change it? It's worked. I think one of Satan's biggest outlets are TV commercials. It's gotten to where, that's why we really quit going to movies, was because what they were showing in between the movies was so bad. Once I subscribed to a home type magazine, I think it was Southern Living. I wanted it for decorating ideas and for recipes and things. But I found that the bulk of the magazine was advertising for drug and disease centers. I think I counted that 1 month's issue had like 21 different ads. When I ripped everything out, there was hardly anything left, so I just quit subscribing. See, it was propaganda. Every time I turn a page, blah, boom. What's happening here? Satan's trying to get us to meditate in the wrong thing because he knows that we're like God class and we operate by faith like God does. He knows he can't, so the only way he can get things done like he wants to kill, steal, and destroy is to steal yours, get you to operate faith in the wrong way, to kill yourself. All right, let's look in Deuteronomy 34. Meditation goes both ways. What's premeditated murder? What's rape? You know, Deuteronomy 4:34. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, his natural force abated. We're going to read in a later teaching this morning about God actually took Moses up on the mountain and he actually saw the promised land at 120. Okay. Well, let's just read it now. We'll read it again. Maybe we need to. This is verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land from Gilead to Dan. That's quite a view. And all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah to the western sea, Mediterranean Sea, and the south of Negeb and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. These awareness of anti-God messages are meant to kill, steal, and destroy. Most have been raised on this negativity and are reaping the benefits of those belief systems. This is Satan's marketing campaign. Lies and tricks. In the old covenant, the Lord told the people to do a certain thing. This is Deuteronomy 6, the first scripture. And when you shall bind them. Well, let's go on up. 6. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate, and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets, forehead bands between your eyes. You shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you with great and goodly cities which you did not build, and we're not going to go into that. But anyway, what is he telling them to do? Meditate. Keep it like frontlets between your eyes. Talk about it when you sit down, when you rise up, when you walk about, when you're with your children. Talk about it to your children. Is it any wonder that the government gets our children by the time they're 5 years old, and they begin to indoctrinate them into whatever way they try to mold them? Now they're trying to really push the transgender transgender thing onto the children. They're having the drag queens come and do storytelling time. Even some churches are allowing the drag queens to come in to storytell to their kids. Well, don't they realize they're just setting it up for pedophilia? Yeah. All right, Deuteronomy 11, 18 and 19. Therefore you shall lay up these my words in your minds and hearts and in your entire being, and bind them for a sign upon your hands and as forehead bands between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that the days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them as long as the heavens are above the earth. I remember back in when we were young in the Lord, but had little children, the church we went to, we didn't have anything but just scripture plaques and God's word on the wall. We didn't have anything else. Now, we kind of went Old Testament extreme there, but the concept's right. What are you looking at? What do you put before your, is it Podesta art? Have you seen the Podesta art? I know someone that went to see the Biltmore, the big mansion. It's in one of the Carolinas, I think. Anyway, supposedly, Podesta has a picture. Is it Tony? John. Well, I know, but I don't know which one has it. The one that was Hillary's campaign manager. He has all this art of little girls, and they've always got their hands tied behind their back, and they got little panties, and their little panties are coming up, and you can tell the little bottoms look irritated because they've been, raping them. And they show that the Biltmore in this big, huge mansion that people come in and view. It's a museum, but down at the bottom is this big swimming pool with ropes. And that's the picture that's in this art, that this kind of stuff has gone on in the Biltmore. Or whatever you call it. Is it the Biltmore? I may have that wrong. But I'm just thinking, is this the kind of thing, the images that people put on the wall and the stuff you see. I mean, it's all of it's perverted. Has this stuff all over his house. And you wonder, this man meditates this stuff. This man, and anybody that he associates with. And you think, how could they be given over to such perversion? Because their minds are totally reprobate. Strongholds of the devil. They've probably been raised in it. A lot of them were victims of it. Sometimes I really feel bad for them because I feel like the victim becomes the victimizer. Because there was a young woman I saw a post. It was Joe M. had put on his Twitter page. This young woman, she's an actress, Annabelle Thorne. They started her when she was 6 years old, being a model, child model, and now she's a movie star, but she sings and acts. But she was, They set her up and programmed her from age 6 to 14. She was raped. You know, sodomized and raped and stuff all those years. And she was saying, you know, these stars that just gripe about they have to deal with the paparazzi. She said, I wish that's all I had to deal with. She said, being raped from age 6 until I was 14. And a lot of these Hollywood children are. Macaulay Culkin's one of them. They say that they really messed up Michael Jackson. Just, you know, just think about all this stuff that's been going on for years and years and years. People that we idolized, people that we looked to, you know, set up like heroes. Look what Satan is doing and what he's done. They're the biggest victims. Okay. All right, Deuteronomy 11:18. Oh, I've read that already. Okay, God told Joshua, Joshua 1:8. It is really hot in here. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall deal wisely and have good success. I don't know who had this dream, but back when all the cesspool started manifesting itself and such ugliness and nastiness in our society like we'd never seen before, I remember it was a Christian, had a dream, and it was the church, and they were on this huge plane, and the whole earth was just sewage, and they couldn't find a place to land. Yeah. All right, meditating will bring down strongholds. Jeremiah 23:29 is a perfect scripture, describes it perfectly. They used to say, we're all a bunch of blockheads, you know. We've got these strongholds of the enemy in our minds, built up in our minds. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of most stubborn resistance. So this is the breaking down of strongholds. Romans 12:1-2. Which as Christians, this is what we're supposed to do after we're born again. Be filled with the Spirit and begin the process of renewing our minds so we can know God's will and fit into His plan for us. I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you, of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire and renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in the sight for you. You know, all the rules and regulations and laws that we have to abide by, this is a process of conforming us to the ways of the world. And I'm not saying don't obey. I'm saying this is that process. You know, I read something where they were talking about back, I don't even remember, maybe it was early 1900s, where you didn't have to ask for this and you didn't have to ask for that. Now you have to pay a fee for this and get a license for that to do anything. And we say we're free? No. All right, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. This process right here keeps strongholds from forming. I think the reason we get strongholds is because we do not use our weapons and we let it just come and we just let it take up residence. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, refuting arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. Think about a battle. Say there's a hill, and the devil's on one side, and God's on the other side. And so here comes the devil. Or not, we don't say God, let's just say us and the devil. And he's advancing. And you just stay over here passive. And he's advancing, and he's advancing, and he's advancing, and he's advancing. What should be happening? He advances, you advance. He advances, you advance. He never takes your ground. Every time he advances, he gets a little more in. When you lay down, go to pieces, have your flesh day or two or three or four or 10 or 12, what happens? You lose ground. It's like a battle. These are weapons we're talking about here. Maybe my analogy is not too good. I can kind of tell by your face, maybe, what do you mean? But what I'm saying is when we are not aggressive and we just let it, he gains ground on us. Because there's times I said, Lord, it just seems like it's, you know, maybe in the past, maybe it's not just getting any better. Well, you just laid down. You laid down. We can't lay down. We have to stay strong. Now you can understand how our government, the Antichrist part of it, indoctrinated you and our children and grandchildren, so on. It has ingrained the false belief systems in the minds of men, so the Antichrist will have a smooth road to the top. Indoctrination. Some might think flat earth, Bigfoot, aliens, and other things are not relevant, but I disagree. Satan has gone to great lengths to discredit God in any way he can, so it is a big deal because it's conformity to the world. They've been through movies and television series setting us up for a fake alien invasion. That's why the Pope is saying, oh, I'll just get that alien born again, you know? See, it's been setting up. They've been setting it up so that we are so indoctrinated, we're so used to seeing aliens, we're so used to seeing all these weird things that, you know, we won't realize it when we're in Star Wars, actually in Star Wars. Then the Lord gave him a dream about the Hunger Games. And their games was within the dome. And those dogs were computer-generated images, and they couldn't have hurt anybody, but if you believe they can, they can. Satan's lies are like those computer-generated images. What people don't realize is all these movies, they're saying, this is what's going to happen to you. This is what we planned for you. Ha, 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 ha. Think about all the alien movies you've ever seen. I was thinking about the one that's so horrible to me, especially the one with old Christian Science, Tom Cruise in it. The War of the Worlds. As far as we are concerned, these Luciferians look at us as their food. Our blood. Cannibalism. I'm telling you, this is serious stuff. Back 2015, when the Lord told me to begin to stand against cannibalism, I was thinking, cannibalism? I thought it was so odd that he would ask it of me. Well, of course, I didn't know anything about anything either. See, they've been setting us up. Propaganda, setting us up. Like it or not, lump it or not, don't want to hear it, I don't care. I'm trying to save your freaking life. It's going to be many people. We're just going to have to, they're going to have to know some truth. They're going to have to know. Okay. Get back to it. All right. Meditation will transform our minds to the truth. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Meditating goes beyond just confessing or reading the word. It is actually ingesting God's medicine. It's not like a piece of chewing gum that you chew and spit out. It's something you chew like a good steak, and you chew it and chew it and chew it, and then you swallow it. I've had meditating and praying in the Spirit actually refresh me like I took a nap. This is refreshing of the Spirit. You know, you felt, your body felt tired, but you couldn't take a nap. You prayed in the Spirit, and all of a sudden you felt like you'd had a nap. Okay. Acts 3:19. So repent, change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. It's time for spiritual refreshing for the church. Okay. Meditating goes beyond just confessing or reading the word. It is actually ingesting. Now get that. Ingesting God's medicine. Okay. Refreshing there means recovery of breath or revival. Isaiah 40:31. I mean, it'd be nice to be a youth again in as far as in your body, but the thing is, God says even youth get weary. So what he gives is even better than what a youth would have. I have a few family members that all ever hear about is how tired they are. I'm just tired. I don't have any. I'm thinking, really? Like, all right. 40:31. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as the eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Well, 28:29-30 didn't read, but it goes with it. He gives power to the faint and weary. To him who has no might, increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. So it's not the strength of a youth. It's beyond that. This is supernatural strength. This refreshing. It takes the toil out of it. What the Lord said to me, meditating takes the toil out of faith and confession. Because I can read and just get really worn out just reading. But you can take a scripture, part of a scripture, and just think about it. What's it doing? It's forming a picture in your mind of what God wants for you. Whether it's your whole in your body, or whole in your finances, or wisdom that you need. And you can do it and do anything. You can just sit. I remember one morning just thinking about, the Lord gave me a scripture song for 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. And I just sung it in my mind. Just sang it in my mind. And what I was experiencing, it went away. But I was getting ready and I was doing stuff. I didn't have to sit down and go, okay. You know, and this has its proper place, but, you know, it takes time. It takes a lot of energy reading the word, but meditation is just a higher form. We're getting more out of it by chewing it in our minds. Brother Hagin used to call it like a cow chewing the cud, just over and over and over, just thinking about it. When you walk down the road, when you're walking with your kids, when you go to work, when you go to lunch. Okay. All right, Strong's refreshing means rest. Okay, Isaiah 28. Verse 9. To whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those who are babies, just weaned from the milk and taken from the breast? For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, rule upon rule, rule upon rule, here little, there little. No. But by men with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To these has said, this is the true rest that you shall give to the weary, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not listen. Therefore the word of the Lord be to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, rule upon rule, rule upon rule, here a little, there a little, that it may go well and fall backward, be broken and snared and taken. What's he saying? This is the same old, hearing the same old teaching, same old thing, same old thing, same old thing, is not doing any good. God's talking about, with stammering lips and another tongue will I teach this people. This is that meditation, praying in the Spirit, meditating the Word of God. All right, the Strong's there, refreshing, means rest. Rest. Okay, Mark 4. This is the rest scripture, as far as I'm concerned. After God said, he rested. After Jesus said, it is finished, he went to the Father. He's resting. 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground, then continues sleeping and rising night and day while the seed sprouts and grows and increases, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself. You know what? When you're meditating the word, it's doing the work. You're not doing the work. You're protecting your mind. You're keeping it in your mind. The earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe and permits, immediately he sends forth and puts in the sickle because the harvest stands ready. I've told you, I've received healing this way. Sometimes I had to start out just being in the Word and reading the Word and all of that. But somewhere along the line, after several hours of doing that, it got in me. I digested it. It's kind of like going to the doctor and getting medication, but you just put them on the cabinet and you don't take it. And you call the doctor and say, this stuff ain't working. Were you taking it? No. You have to ingest it. All right.